Blog Talk Radio. Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina. Another edition of the Yehuda Project on the first day of the week. Brother Uriah, if you can hear me, please push one. All right. Thank you very much. How's everybody doing today? I hope all is well. This is Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know who we're going to win this week, this year. I don't know. Anybody have anything to talk about today, please feel free to push one. And we will get the topic rolling. I don't have a whole lot to talk about, but I'm here. Shalom, shalom. The class yesterday was excellent. I enjoyed it. We learned some things. Some prophecies have come to pass, and we're moving forward. All praises be to the Most High Yah. I hope don't no ships show up today at the game. That'd be kind of ugly. Because, you know, they said something's supposed to happen, so we'll see. Said what go on in Vegas won't stay in Vegas. We gonna see, we finna see. All praises be to the High and Holy One of Israel. This is some exciting time. It is. It is some exciting times, I'm telling you. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Brothers, one of the brothers push one. Tell me who you're going for. You going for the Kansas City Chiefs or are you going for the San Francisco 49ers? Somebody let me know. Who you going for? Come on, this is when we get normal. This is when we act normal today. You know, we be sanctified all week. But the football game is coming on the Super Bowl. Somebody push one. All right, I knew it was somebody coming. Shalom, shalom. Is this Brother William?
Yeah, that's me.
All right, which one we got? We got the Chiefs or we got the 49ers?
And we got the Minnesota Vikings. I'm going for the Vikings. That's my Viking horn.
They ain't playing in the day in the Super Bowl.
In my mind, they are.
No,
I don't like neither one, to be honest with you. Kansas City beat them in the Super Bowl back in 1970. And I've never forgotten that. San Francisco, they've always been a nemesis of ours ever since we started playing them in the playoffs, or if not the NFC Championship game. So I really don't care. All I know is that it's just going to be a red Super Bowl. Both teams are red in color.
Wow. Well, you wasn't no help. Somebody else. You're supposed to be helping. What team? My goodness. Well, are you going to at least watch the game?
No. I'm just going to chill. I'll listen to the game. But, you know, just probably just monitor it, you know, every now and then. But as far as, like, sitting down there and rooting, no. Now, the Vikings were playing, oh, yeah, I'd be – matter of fact, I would have been up all last week trying to strategize, trying to do all kind of things. Look, y'all, you know what you got to do. Go out there and handle your business. But since my team ain't playing, we haven't been there since 1977. No, I just can't. But I know one thing, though. I would think that the Cylons, I'm sorry, the Raiders, I call them Cylons, they would probably rather for the San Francisco to win, because Kansas City is in their division. And I wouldn't want Green Bay, which is in my division, coming to play the Super Bowl at my house and them winning it. It's like they're saying, now this is our house. We built this. No. No. So if plus in that sense, Oakland is right next door to San Francisco. And even though the Raiders may have moved to, since they moved down into Vegas, I would think that the Raiders would want San Francisco to win it. That's just my thought. I could be wrong.
I see. I don't even know nothing about these. I know They beat us when we went to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs did.
San Francisco beat y'all too.
We always, I hate to say that, but we be trying hard. You know, we have really been trying hard. Since we got the young guys on there, we've been really been doing pretty good.
Y'all have been. You really have been tremendously.
Yeah.
And I remember they used to call you guys Cincinnati Bungles. Not Bengals.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible. Ain't that terrible?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we do the best we can. We try.
I do have a question though.
Yes.
When are you gonna start playing War?
What do you mean?
The musical group War. Their songs like All Day Music, The World is a Ghetto, Cisco Kid.
Mm.
That right there. You play them other songs.
I'll put that on the list. I will.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I've
been waiting all these years. I've been waiting all this time for you to do that. And I said, she got something against War. Now, she's been playing.
Oh, no, not me. Mm-mm. I don't never have nothing against nobody. I don't never have nothing against nobody.
I hear you. I don't mean to be mean. I'm just saying that you probably just either forgot or just overlooked them, that's all.
I did. I really didn't think about them, you know, because I can have millions of songs on here and just do my thing. I just really didn't even think about it. I really didn't.
Yeah. Them boys, I tell you, they were the ones who got me to come out there to California. Because, you know, when I was a kid, listening to their records and their albums, I was just enamored, you know, by them. The sound, everything. And even though, you know, they're a black group, but they were kind of like having a Spanish background or a Latino background. And that's how I found out about the Cholos or the Mexicans and their culture. And yet, you know, finding out there's a whole world of Latino culture all throughout the Americas.
Wow. Mm.
But All Day Music was the one that who had really set it off for me, though.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. I like War much better than I do like Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I know a lot of people crazy about Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I remember the first time I saw War when I was stationed in San Diego. And this was a dream of mine for many, many years, to be stationed out there and to see them and hear them play. And I finally did. Even though they really weren't War, they were more like the Low Rider Band, because there was a little dissension going on in the band. The guy that was supposed to be owning them, he retained the rights of War. And he had one of their musicians to come with him. Now they're more, I mean, they still play their songs, but it's just different. The sound is different. But the Low Rider Band still play the original sound of War.
Mm. Wow. That'll work. That is something. Yeah, I like War. I do.
You do? I didn't realize that.
I do. I like music. So, I mean, you know.
When you was playing the Isaac Brothers, my wife was sitting here. She stood up and she started singing. And then she came over there to me and she was like, you know, dancing in front of me.
You know, the Isaac Brothers don't go away. Ever, never, no ever. That song get people up. I don't care, you know, especially at a family reunion or whatever. Oh, my goodness.
You're absolutely right about that. Wasn't that song made back in 76?
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Yeah, it's over 50
years
old.
Yeah, a long time ago.
You and I, we were teenagers.
Yes, we was drifting on a memory. Hey, that's my damn. Still is. That's the thing. You know, those are the things we're going to leave behind. You know, poor little thing, the Isley brothers. We're going to miss you, but we got to go.
Yep.
It's been fun, but we got to go. You know? Yes,
but what do you think if the Most High allow us to take him?
No.
Because if there were songs that didn't call for destruction or, you know, sin and stuff like that, but just having you to be mellow.
Right.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? You just never know.
Yep.
But I know one day we will be making new music.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be making songs that we've never heard, sounds that we've never heard,
yes.
heard
mm-hmm.
of before. Mm-hmm. I look forward to that.
I wonder if the world is ready for us. You know?
No. Mm-mm. They're not. They're already mad anyway. They are mad as can be. Because they see their world is ending and ours is rising.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they ready because we coming. Mm-hmm.
Coming hard and fast.
Yes, indeed. So, well, on a lighter note, you know, other than the Super Bowl, there's nothing new going on the news, nothing really happening on the news other than what we talked about yesterday. You know, the world just keep on turning and people keep doing what they're doing, you know. Nothing new in the news that I know about. You know, it's a lot going on, but nothing new from what we talked about yesterday. Anybody else have anything you want to share? You know, anybody, anything? Because it is a wonderful day, I'm telling you. Each day we're getting closer and closer. The sun's shining. I get to smiling like, come on, y'all. We waiting on you. With a heartfelt hallelujah, let's get it done. Passover is coming. Everybody, like Brother Uriah said, make sure you get the yeast out your house. Start now. Remove all the cornbread and the cornmeal and the flour and all that. I get that out because we're getting ready to do Passover. We would like to invite you all to do Passover with us in the listening audience. Those that are out there, if you would like to celebrate the Passover with us in your homes the way we're supposed to, please email us at the Yehuda Project. We'll send you your necessary Passover information and the things that you'll need to do Passover with us is coming up. We take it very seriously. It was the last night that the Israelites were in the land of their captivity, and we are getting people prepared and ready to do this one more again. You got to be mentally ready to do this again because we can ready to do this again. So Passover is extremely important this year. You know, we do it in our homes the way the ancient Israelites did it, in their homes, getting prepared to leave the land of your captivity. It's coming real soon. You know, and if you would like to, email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com. Theyehudaproject@gmail.com. And Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, and we will send you the necessary paperwork and the registration page. Because we want to know how many people are coming. This is a Passover to get ready to mentally do this for real. Well, this is supposed to be our 70th Jubilee. This is pretty important. This is a pretty important Passover for us. Doesn't matter whether you're Christian, Muslim, whatever you are in the religious form, we still need you to understand that we are leaving And one day is going to be our last day in this land. So we have to get everybody mentally ready to make that journey. A lot of people know about the second exodus, but they don't know why. So we definitely want you to join us. Brother Yerach Shalom, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. Shalom, shalom. How are you guys doing today?
Shalom, shalom.
Well, I just want you to ask if anybody had anything. I concluded my ancestry search. I did my ancestry. I was able to get all the way back to Senegal.
Oh, wow.
And, yes, it's been like a year or something, over a year or something, and I was actually able to get back to Senegal on my mom's side and my dad's side. Still not sure what country in Africa, but it was a young female, and she came over and was dumped at the ports in Virginia. As a matter of fact, that place we were talking about where those 20 people came over in 1619.
Port Comfort.
The originators of my family started. They were 49 miles away from that.
Oh, wow.
So they're more than likely descendants of those people that came from there.
All right. That's a blessing.
I was looking at it, and I was like, oh, my God. I kept seeing Sister Rachel was laughing at me and stuff, talking about, good God. Some of those things, that I was able to actually see the slave owners and who were the slave owners and find out why my last name was what it is.
Wow.
It was just something different, you know, and I was able to see that. And you could tell when the women got raped. You knew who the rapers were. You could see all
that.
You know, because there's a man in my family, like my great-great-great-great-grandfather. His name is Ephraim. Ephraim Butts. I want to say it was his daughter was raped at the age of about 16, because it's in the records. When they pull up those slave records, his daughter's in the house with him. They pull up the census records. And you can see where that child was born in the house. It's just amazing, James.
Wow. Well, I am glad that you had that experience. I'm glad you got that information. I mean, you know, it's a blessing to have that. It's a blessing to have that. I'm serious. Because there's a lot of people who don't know.
It's one other thing that I found, too, that we actually didn't think we'd find. Like my great-great-great-grandma actually was interviewed in one of those slave narratives when that slavery was over. And we have the letter. We're going to print it off here probably today. And just reading through it right quick, it was something else, man.
Wow.
And I'm just sitting there saying, whoa. This has been a long journey, and I just thought I'd share that. You know, I know it's not, may not mean that much, but I just thought I'd share that.
That is a blessing. Ain't nothing wrong with that. All praises be to the Most High. That the information is out there and it hasn't been erased. You know?
Yeah, but here's the thing, gang. They, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of things you say, man, they come so true. Like you said, them folk know. They know who we are. They know where we are. Because there's something else I noticed in the census records. Those Europeans, they know when they had these black people in their family. They knew.
Of course.
Because I see them, you know, when I was going through these ancestry searches, and I see them. They know exactly who we are, what they did, the whole nine yards. And to say that, no, they don't know, and that they don't know who was a slave, that's a lie and a half.
Yep. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. They know. They know a lot of stuff. They just ain't telling. They know a lot of stuff. They just ain't telling.
Yeah, it's something.
Huh?
I was just saying, it was a journey. It was something else, man, just to get all the way back. And just, you know, imagine, you know, just for a second, I was able to just sit down and imagine what it was like for them to come over here. And, man, go through the things that he wants to recover. My great-great-great-grandma, she was talking about some stuff, boy.
Yes, indeed.
She talking about how Massa, she said, Massa love to come in and these little cook girls. And she was saying, love to kind of sneak in and these little color girls. But my daddy said he'll whoop them if he come out. Oh, my God.
Lord, have mercy.
So I said, oh my goodness, man, this is something else. And that would make sense because it come from my mom's side of the family, and I know my mom's dad, Bud, good God, man, he, if you're white, you weren't coming in the yard. You better have some business.
Wow,
man, you know, and I don't mean no offense. But that's just how he was. You were like that. You pull up in that yard, you better have some business.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're going to get ran up out of here.
But I'm glad that you were able to do that. You got the information that you needed. All praise be to the Most High Yah. And now when you get on that boat, you're going to represent all those ancestors when you're on your way back. Ain't that a blessing? That's a blessing. Hold on, I got somebody else to push one. Area code 717, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Hello? Okay, so I want to just hear me out. I want to say, what is it that's so different about the African-American? I've had lots of European friends, and one of my old boyfriends, he was Armenian. When they come here, they're told, don't talk to the blacks. Watch out for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they said that they go to, like, Jamaica. They don't hear that. They go to Europe. They don't hear that. The racism still exists. But it's something different about the African-Americans that they push the hatred so much. There are Israelites everywhere, and Judah's supposed to be spreading. But it's something that's so different about the African-Americans that belong to the Most High. That's very different because the hatred is different and it's pushed. And I've heard it from Caucasians traveling. They don't get it when they go other places, but it's something about us here that they hate. That's very different. And I would like to know, what is it that's so different? We're all Israelites. We're all his children. What is it about the ones here?
You know what? That's a good question, because it's something about us, period, because we're the ones to spearhead everything off. It has to start with us.
I think it's what you said a while back, Sister Yana, and I remember a lot of things that you said. And I remember what you said, and you were saying a lot of people don't really understand it, but you're the descendant of the house of King David.
Mm-hmm,
I think the descendants of the house of King David are here, and there's just something a little special about them, and that's why the extra bit of hatred goes in. But I think them 20 that came off that ship started that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, indeed. There's something else going on over here. Because we are the ones that is persecuted the most. We go through the most. We are the ones who started the curse. We are the ones that's going to end the curse. We're the ones that's going to leave first. There's a reason for all of that. Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a reason for all that. Let's mean that's what the meaning is. It just is what it is. They do not want that today. They don't want that day. You know what I really think it is? I think it's because they're afraid we're going to start gathering for the wrong reasons. You know, and nobody really wants to do anything out of the way. We're not trying to get, you know, do nothing to them. Absolutely. Have you all noticed the commercials that are going around now about the Jewish people, and you make sure you put up a blue cube and all that? Have you seen that? That they have been, in, you know, subliminally putting messages up on the television screen, you know, support the Jews. Have anybody seen that?
A blue cube?
I think it hasn't picked up the traction that they thought it was going to do.
I know on the net they're trying to go in on and ask you the question, does Israel have the right to defend itself? And they always have that Star of David as a necklace.
Mm-hmm.
They do nothing. I don't see anything on there for Palestine, but I see that for the Jews, though. I mean, the Ashkenazis.
Well, yeah. I just noticed that. Hold on. Let me get this open. Let me open up her mic. Area code 717. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, family. What I was going to say was I was going to piggyback on what the sister asked when she was asking why the significance about the African Americans in America. I've always said this since I woke up. The leaders in the royal tribe are the only ones that came here. They had the worst punishment. Everybody else was doing their own thing, but once the leader tribe did it, remember, when they lead, everyone follows. Once they started doing wickedness, everybody else followed them and started doing wickedness as well, because they're like, oh, well, my leader did it. That means I can do it. So they started being wicked. So it's the same thing here in Babylon. When they start leaving, everybody else is going to want to start to leave too, because they know spiritually, even if they're like Hebrew Israelite or not, they're going to see. They're like, okay, well, and the same thing with the trends. Anything that trends, they have to put an African-American person in there. Everybody follows African-Americans. They went and influenced the whole entire world. They influenced Japan. They influenced the UK. They influenced Europe. They influenced Australia. Like, there's not one corner of this world that they haven't influenced. There's no other person that anybody wants to imitate. Nobody wants to imitate an Indian person. Nobody wants to imitate an Indian person. Nobody wants to go imitate a Chinese person. No, they want to imitate a Black African American person, a woman and man. It's not just the man, it's woman and men, because they started the trend with the long nails, the baby hair laying down, the African-American men with the sagging pants and the wrapping. Yeah, they influence everybody, and it's going to be the same thing with the exes. That's why they try to close everything. They try to close it. Yeah, here in Babylon. That's why they try to close it here in America. They don't want people to know the word. They don't want them to know that they're waking up and why they're being followed, why everybody so gravitated towards them, because they're chosen. Those are the leaders.
Possibility. That's a strong possibility. I know we live, like I said, we started the curse, we ended the curse, and we have to leave the captivity first. We have to. We have to. And that's worldwide. So, yeah, I would agree. We have a major influence on the world. We really do. And we don't realize that. And they know that. That's why the Jewish people have a major influence, try to influence us to look a certain way and do certain things. Because they know what we do is going to influence the world. Why? Because we're Abraham's seed. And because he said, because of your seed, the world will be blessed. And we Yah's people. So I definitely agree. It has been a very interesting experience, I tell you that much. You know, you just watch. You know, they don't want to be around us, but they want to be like us. You know, but it is what it is. Nothing you could do about it. You just got to trust him. You know, we got to keep it moving because one day we're leaving, and when we do that, you know, a lot of things are going to leave. Our spirit is going to leave. The Most High Spirit is going to leave. His protection is going to leave. You know, the sound, the musical sound that we have is going to leave. The swagger getting ready to leave. This is all the stuff we brought with us. Now, I'm not saying that every black person is going to leave, but I'm talking about the children of Israel, the ancient children of Israel from the tribe of Yehuda. We're leaving. You know, and even though we're going back to a land that's occupied at the moment, we're still going home. And I'm really curious to see how that's going to work. You know. All praises be to the High and Holy One of Israel. I am really curious to see how that's going to work, but we're leaving. That second Exodus is just as sure as everything. At any time, he can say in Daniel, how many years ago? Over 8,000 years ago in the book of Daniel. I'll say five. I'll just be generous and say 5,000 years ago. A prophecy was given in Daniel in the days of these kings. And it has manifested itself today that there is a European male monarch on the 10 toes of the European monarchs around the world is incredible. That's incredible. All of them are kings. It's no queens anywhere. On the major players. This is deep. This is a lot going on. And all the European monarchs have kings sitting on the throne right now. And not because all of the women died out. No, because this is how the Most High wanted it to be. And this is how it is. Crucial stuff. Well, he said, in the days of these kings, I'm going to set up my kingdom. I'm going to set up my kingdom. That's critical. And everybody was like, well, we don't have no kings. There's some queens sitting down, so it can't be now, not no more. Not anymore. So don't forget about the prophecy today, you guys. I just brought that up because I also want you not to forget about the prophecy that the guy gave over the news, the one who was talking about the Super Bowl. If something's supposed to happen today, and we're going to see.
Yeah.
That it ain't going to be able to stay in Vegas. It's going to be everywhere, but everybody going to see it. Yes, indeed. It's going to get interesting, I'll tell you, to say the least. You know, we've been saying that a long time, and you know, you get tired of repeating yourself, but it's okay. It is really okay. Yes, it is. It says, let me read it real quick, just this particular prophecy. Daniel chapter 2, verse 40, it says, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. It says, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou saw the iron mixed with miry clay. He said, and as the toes and the feet were part iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou saw the iron, thou saw as iron mixed with miry clay, here we go, y'all, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. He said, and in the days of these kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Woo, we got kings sitting on the throne. All of them is kings. He said, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Ain't nobody else gonna run this kingdom but us. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Oh, my goodness, I'm telling y'all, this is some serious stuff. Jeez. Some serious stuff. The beginning. The ground has been laid. His word ain't going to come back void, and that is the God's honest truth. My goodness. That's Daniel chapter 2. That's Daniel saw that when he was a captive in Babylon. Thousands of years ago. He saw the European nations in the time that we're living in now with no one sitting on there but male kings. And that's what we got right now today. Crucial. Well, here we go. Trusting in the Most High. Woo, I'm excited. Yes, indeed. Anybody else have anything to go over today? I mean, you know, I'm excited. I know we got this Passover coming up. You know, don't forget, you guys, we got to make sure we're diligent with this. Like I said, I can't stress enough the importance of this Passover, that we come together, all of us that are part of the nation of Yehuda. Those who used to be, those who want to be, everybody, we need to do. We're doing it virtually in our own homes the way we're supposed to do it. Because Jubilee tells us not to deviate from this, to do it exactly the way it's supposed to be done. You know, this ain't no festival. You know, I know they went up three times a year for certain, the men did, but guess what? We're in captivity. We cannot go up anywhere three times a year to do sacrifices and stuff. We have to do this the way our ancestors did it in their homes. Because even though it's a memorial, it's going to become a real thing for us. Real thing. You know, and somebody asked me, they said, well, have you heard anything from the United Nations? Has anybody heard anything? I said, when the appointed time comes, you will. Now I see why he didn't wake some people up, y'all, because these people wouldn't have been able to go through what we've gone through. They wouldn't have had the patience. Everybody that's waking up now want to know right now, when we leave and how long is it going to be and what's going on, what's the hold up? Oh. You have to wait. This is serious. You have to wait. You know? And they're just, and you know, you have to take the time to know the word. You have to sit down and know his word. Bless us. Praise the holy name. Hallelujah. All praises be to the high and holy one of Israel. Yes, indeed. They're overly excited. You got to take time to come and sit down. You got to be patient. You're not going to rush it. That's why you fall for all these people telling you we meet next week on the shores of, on the shoreline of Texas. Are we going to be meeting on the shoreline of Florida? No. Until you get there and you be standing by yourself. No. No, no, no. Yes, indeed. Praise the Holy One. So that's what we tell everybody. Don't be so rushed. Don't be so quick to rush into stuff. No. We're going to get there. And, you know, our job is to steady the crowd because we have to. We have to study these people because these people want to know. I said, when we hear from the United Nations, you'll know. When they decide to let that information out, you'll know. It's not going to be a secret. There's no way you're going to move this many people away from the United States and that be a secret. It's not. Who was the guy who did it before? What was the black man's name who brought the ships and stuff? What was his name? I keep thinking Haile Selassie, but I know that ain't him. What was his name? Who set up, they got him on mail fraud. You guys
Marcus
know who I'm
Garvey.
Talking about.
Marcus Garvey.
People still talking about that, how he had those boats show up to take those people back. You're not going to be able to hide it. So just be patient because it's just like the 400 years. I can't stress it enough. We talked about it and we talked about it and we talked about it and we talked about it, and before we knew it, it was up on us. And some people were stunned that it was up on us like it was. So just be patient because the day is coming. It's coming. Because you know why I know it's coming? Because his word can't come back void. There's no man walking on this earth that's going to stop y'all's word from fulfilling itself. Nobody. Man or beast. Nobody. Demon or devil. Angel or fallen angel. Nobody's going to stop that word from fulfilling itself. Everything happens for a reason. You know, the biggest thing we have to do is to stay focused and do what he calls us to do. You know, I think that's the part that is hard for us to accept is because in our mind, we can't fathom that the story's already been written. You know, we think that he's making this up as he goes along, that he has to contact, okay, I want you to do this over here, you to do that. And not to say that he doesn't, because he drops the thought down into a person's mind. However, it's already written out how it's going to go. So the scenarios are already happening right now to lead up to who's going to do what. And I'll give you an example, just like Joseph. When they brought Joseph before Pharaoh, all the things that Joseph did from the time his brothers threw him into the pit until the time that he walked through those double doors and was standing facing Pharaoh was all a lead up until that moment. From Potiphar's house, from the wife seducing him, all of that was to bring him to that one moment. So he walks into Pharaoh and says, tell me the dream. Pharaoh tells him the dream. He asks Pharaoh, was there a second dream? He done blew the Pharaoh's mind. And he go to looking around, and he's like, we ain't told him nothing. He told him the second dream. He says, he just put his hand down the most high. He said, this is the interpretation of the dream. Told him what it meant. Not only did he tell him what it meant, but they brought him back before Pharaoh, and he said, is there anything we can do? And not only did he tell him what the dream meant, but he spoke his own deliverance and promotion out of his own mouth. He said, you need to put a man over all of Egypt. And we need to collect a fifth of the grain and build storehouses and have everybody bring a fifth of their grain into the storehouses in the years of the plenty. The Most High dry, he just told him what to do. Pharaoh listened to him like, that's a good idea. And then he said, well, where could I find such a man? The Most High said, ding! He said, why not you? You the best. I mean, you the only one that came up. All of this is a lead up. It's a lead up. to the moment. It's a lead up. And don't think you didn't have nothing to do with H.R. 1242 coming into action. Oh, yes, you did. We spoke that into existence and brought that into the atmosphere. And guess what? It was the right people heard it, and they told some other people, and some other people started listening. And before you know it, we had a law, and that bad boy was a law in the land of our captivity. That's how he do it. Hold on. Area code 214, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to add one thing as you were talking. I've been very happy over here. I've been hallelujah and clapping and doing all kinds of stuff in my house. But I am so happy because the Most High's word does not come back void. It's not going to be changed. But the thing that crossed my mind was this. They have been looking for the Black Messiah ever since we got here. They have killed so many people, but the person that the Most High has put in place has been born. He's here. There's nothing they can do. We're saying there is nothing that they cannot stop it. When that man steps forward, that's it. Just like we look, we're talking about what David did. Not David. Oh gosh, who was it? He was reading Jeremiah's book, and he wanted to know, why are we in this captivity?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like when he was there, he did not go to people and ask them all kinds of questions. He did not identify himself. He went to the Most High, and the Most High kept him for such a time as this. He wrote those prophecies because he was the man for that time, and there is a man for this time. The Most High has it. He had it. Said he wrote the end from the beginning. Can't stop it.
The end from the beginning.
I am so happy. Makes me very happy.
I'm so glad because I'm happy too. I am happy too. I am happy. I'm telling you I'm happy. It's like, man, oh, man, oh, man. Look at this. Look at the Most High. Just look at what he's doing.
Yes. Men can fail. The Most High never fails, and his word does not change.
Won't come back void. Not at all. Won't come back void. Not at all. Not at all. And all we have to do is just wait it out. Just wait it out. That's all. Just wait it on out. It's going to all work itself out. Mm-hmm. Wait it on out. Wait it on out and watch what he do. He going to do his thing. That's all he do. He does what he does. Praise the mighty Yah. Yes, indeed. Woo! Ain't got long. It won't be long now. It will not be long.
It's like things are moving at lightning speed. I mean, things are going so fast. It's amazing. I listen to so many different people, and everybody is coming from a different angle. But you know what it all means? This is the time. Mm. That's what they all come back to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Mm-mm. Mm. What a mighty Yah we, man. I'm telling you, we have come a long way. We serve a mighty Elohim. Woo! Mm, mm, mm. That's what we got. This is what we got. All praises be to the Most High Yah. It's exciting. It is exciting, exciting, exciting. That's all I can say. It is truly exciting. Praise his name. We made it, you guys. I mean, we're here now. It ain't a whole lot. We're here now. We are truly here now. And like I said, all we have to do is just wait. That's all we can do is wait. Watch what he do, because he don't need our help. Our job is to do what he tells us to do, and his help, he don't need our help. All he needs us to do is be obedient and just stand there and wait and believe and trust him and don't doubt. Because he going, you know what I've learned? Ooh, let me tell you what I've learned. It took me a long time to get here. And from a financial standpoint, it took me a long time to get here. When I tell you a long time, I mean me not putting my hands in it. It took me a long time to realize that he said, I got this. If you just back up out the way, don't try to think of nothing to do. Don't try to come up with nothing. I got this. And I just watched him make a way. I just watched him. And I'm like, look at this. And then you don't know how many times I done went to him and said, all right, if you don't come now, it's over. I am through. You know what? And I just sit back and I had no other choice. And every time he has come through, every single time. Powerful. It is something to see. I'm telling you. Something to see. It is something to see. Woo!
He's actually showing us favor by getting us ready. He's letting our mind adjust to the fact that the changes are coming. They're coming fast. At first, people were going, when is he coming? But it's speeding up, but he has put us in a position where we are now able to say, I believe that. I can take it in. It doesn't scare me. And also, when he separates us from things, it's for our good because we don't want anything. At least I don't want anything that will hold me here. And so I think sometimes why, as you said, why I'm in this position, it doesn't make any sense. But on the other hand, one of the things I know is that I might be a totally different person if I had more resources, if I had access to things that I'm thinking. I'm looking at what other people are doing. But what it does is it keeps me humble and it keeps me ready to say, I can step away. Thank you. This is not my treasure. This is not my God. I thank you. I praise you. I say all praises to the Most High God. I bless him. I praise him. I magnify his name because I love him. And I thank him because it is a blessing. It's a blessing. Sometimes you say, wow, why? But I'm thinking, I thank you. I thank you. You have never let me. You have never let me down. Even when I stood in a position, because I used to really be arrogant. I would say, if there is a God, I am my own God, and I meant it. And I would do all kinds of stuff. And he put up with that for a long time. And then he finally said, I'm going to let you experience what it is to get what it is that you want. And boy, did my life blow up. And it's still been off track. It's just that he has preserved me in the midst of the mess that I made. And back then I realized it's my mess, but I realized it's his love that said, you know what, I'm not going to destroy you. I'm not going to let you die a heretic.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you die declaring yourself to be your own God. I'm not going to let you die not knowing who I am. When you get your lowest point, when you have finally said, I give up, and I did, I was so mad at him. Because I thought he had let me down. I was accusing him of all kinds of stuff. I threw myself down in my floor, said, I am as low as I can go. And I was hot. I'll tell you, hotter than I even felt. I was mad. I can't tell you. I used to get furious. I took my Bible. I threw it across the floor. Why? Now what are you going to do? I've done everything you want me to do. What now? Man.
Been there, done that. I've been there, done that, too.
You see the mess that you're in the midst of. Couple of days later, I was literally on the road running. I ran for like a year. Man, it was just unbelievable. But through it all, he protected me. Every time I had to move, it's like a little voice would tell me it's time to go. I was going from pillar to post. I literally had no place that I could reside in safety. He allowed me to keep my child, but I had to leave everything. And as I said, my life has kind of been off kilter ever since. My son is not here, but he gave me a guarantee that my son was with him. He has been so good to me. I have not lost my sanity. I've not lost my peace. I am thankful. I am so thankful. And now he has given us an assurance that he is going to come and get us. That, you know what he told me before I ever joined the Yehuda Project? He said, you will escape with your life. And I said, I did a fast for this. What does that mean? Oh, my gosh, that has comforted me so many times. I cling to that because I realize his word doesn't fail. When he told me I would escape with my life, I know stuff is coming. Whatever it is, he's got my back. He's already told me. I know the end from the beginning. You will escape with your life. I'm thinking, I don't know but what's coming. But I rest in peace because the God of the universe, when I didn't even honor him as such, never abandoned me, and he let me know who he was. And that's the reason I said, I love who I am because I know whose I am. That's when I really started loving myself. I said, man, if the God of the universe can talk directly to me, I know I'm somebody.
Absolutely.
I tell you. And that's what we say. We are the children of the Most High Yah. He has come and let us know who he is. He has given us a promise, and he does not fail. He can do anything. He created the universe. He spoke the world into existence. We look at this word because he said, in the beginning was the word. I'm thinking,
yes, it was.
Preach, sister.
I love it.
Preach.
I mean, seriously, I sit over here by myself, and I am thankful. I sit over here by myself. I am happy. I am so thankful. I can't even express it sometimes. And sometimes I'm thinking, wow, I wish things were different. But then I think, what are the alternatives? What if my son were here and he was making my life misery? What if I was just always in fear that he was not going to make it in? What if? And I just say, thank you, Father. You know the end from the beginning. I thank you. I thank you in the midst of everything. I give you praise. I magnify your name. I love you with a passion. I bless your name. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And so I'm willing to stop, but I'm telling you, I have been very happy over here listening to you. Just tell me what it is that he said. I believe him.
All right, that's all he wants us to do. That's it. If you can do that, and you can, you're going to be scared sometime. There's going to be some moments that it's going to look bleak. And you're like, oh, Lord, it's over. But he'll always come through and be like, I'm going to show you. You just got to trust me. And it, you know, it's not. As much as we read that word, and as much as we get excited over that word, and as much as we know him when real life stuff hits you, that's a whole totally different story. But if you can graduate past that part, he'd be like, let me show you. Just trust me. And it's like a little baby taking walks for the first time. You step out there, you're wobbling a little. First, you learn how to get up on your knees, and you're sitting up for the first time. And then all of a sudden, you're standing up, but you're holding on to something. And then the Most High say, let go of everything and just take a step. Just trust me. When you take that first step, he say, and you be like, phew, you came through. The test gets a little bit harder, and there's something else that'll throw at you. Sometimes he'll let stuff come at you at the same time, two and three things, but you got to trust him. And you just got to say, no matter what, I'm going to trust you because I know you're going to come through. And watch what he does. Watch what he does. I'm so excited sitting over here because I've been waiting on something for a long time. And I remember I did something about in August, and they said, well, we really can't do anything until February. I said, February? That's so long. We're in February right now. I'm like, wow. August was bleak, but guess what he got me through? From August to September, to September, to October, to November, to December. He just got me through. And all you got to do is just trust him. Let him do it. Don't you do it. You let him do it. And watch what he do. Watch what he does. You just got to trust him. That's the biggest thing. That's the only thing that's all we have is trust. If you can trust him, he'll show you. But you got to, we say we do, but when he puts you to the test, you can't doubt. You got to be like, nope, my kids called me murmuring and complaining. I'd be like, didn't he do it yesterday? Yes. I said, well, if he did it yesterday, then wait on him today. Because you can only live one day at a time. If he did it yesterday, he'll do it today. But then just because you don't have it now, don't give you the right to complain. Because every time you complain, he shows up and shows you. So do you one day at a time, and they'll be like, okay. Don't call me complaining because I'm trying to stand on my own faith, and I know he'll do it. So if you can't, you're going to have, I can't talk you off the ledge today. You're going to have to trust him because I know you called me and told me he did it yesterday. Yes, ma'am, he did. All right, well, he'll do it today. I can't tell you nothing else. That's all I can say. I can't tell you nothing else. And when you learn how to trust him, woo, Lord have mercy. Like, boy, you're like, what is getting ready to happen? Something good is getting ready to happen.
Well, people are getting ready to come back. They're coming back.
Yeah.
That's promise too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That I knew as well. But I wanted to say, you know, when I was going through the issue with my brother, it was difficult. And that was in August, too, because my brother transitioned on August the 22nd, which was my dad's birthday. But I went into I had my stuff packed at the door, ready to go. I went in to spend, like, the final hour with my brother. And my brother said, I want to go to the hospital. And he absolutely did not like the hospitals because he had had so many surgeries. He'd been in there as a child and just so much. But when he said that, I said, wow. So I went and talked to his wife and his daughters, and we took him to the hospital. The ambulance came and got him and took him to the hospital, and I was supposed to be on a plane at like 1 o'clock because I had thought I was spending the last hour. Instead, I was sitting in a hospital time that I was supposed to have been on a plane. I didn't know what was going to happen. My brother went into the hospital. They admitted him. They were saying all kinds of stuff. But do you know that the Most High, he knew and he knows the beginning from the end.
Yes.
I had all packed. They said, well, you can stay. And I said, oh, okay, I can stay here. Sister Yaina, I stayed at the hospital from the 29th of August, from the 29th of July, all the way to the 22nd of August on the day that he transitioned. That was 25 days. People couldn't believe it. And I didn't know you could do that, but the Most High allowed me to literally stay in his room 24-7.
Yeah.
He was never alone. If I wasn't there, some other family member was there because he gave us the comfort. He gave us the ability to say our goodbyes. And even though sometimes he certainly wasn't able to talk there because it was traumatic in a way. I'm sitting there, I learned how to read the monitors. In the middle of the night, something goes off. I step in the hallway because I was there. But that was a blessing. He blessed us in so many ways. And even though my brother transitioned, I said, I thank you, Father, because in the midst of this, you never left us. You never let us down. And it wasn't the end that we were praying for. But I still say, I trust you. I trust you, Passion, even though I don't see the end necessarily or get the outcome that I want. You bless me. Because, look, they tried to put us out. He was in an area where you were only supposed to stay for like 4 days max. I stayed for 25 days.
I know that's
right. I never left. Never left. And
I know
they
that's
were so
right.
Nice. They would. What do you need? They were bringing me towels and toiletries and, you know, a little breakfast stuff. And it was like, the day he transitioned, like the day before, they had got a team together. They've been having meetings every week. And they said, well, you're going to have to go. And guess what? We didn't. We were there at the end. I was there when he took his last breath at like 7 o'clock
in
the morning. Looking at him, I was there when they wheeled him out and they took and put the bag on. And we were there from the beginning to the end. And it is, thank you, Father. I bless
Hallelujah.
You. I praise you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. In the midst of it all, and I miss my brother so much. His family misses him so much, but there is a comfort because I know the God of my salvation. He has never, ever, ever failed me. Ever.
No, ma'am.
And I thank him. I praise him. I praise him, and I bless him. And just like in this small thing, he has delivered in a way that I didn't expect. But it's still a deliverance. The same way he says he's going to get us, he is going to come and get us. And he says it's going to be greater than the second Exodus. I'm not sitting here going, how? I wonder if he has the power. I'm just waiting. I know who I serve. I don't know how he comes. But guess what? He has never failed me. He always comes bigger and better than I thought he was going to. I'm thinking, I love you.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty God. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. That's all we can do. That's all we can do is have that kind of faith. That's all. And you know what? You may think that you're talking to us, but you're talking to people that is listening all over the world. You just have to have that kind of faith. Because that's the faith. Without that, you cannot even please Yah. You can know the Bible backwards and forwards. You can quote all kind of scriptures. You can preach real good. He said, but without faith, It is impossible to please me. You can't even, if you don't trust me, how you going to please me? You got to be at least, to trust me that I got you. No matter what happens, I got you. And that's what we're saying.
Need,
that got you.
You have to know him. A lot of times I wasn't reading my Bible because it was just like, man, I'm sitting there. And it's like, I mean, 24/7, I literally, and the people were so nice. They brought me a table and brought me little things to, so I can put my stuff in the corner. And it was, and nobody ever hassled me. But the one thing that they said, you are a remarkable family. But you know why? Because we serve the Most High Yah. We know how to love each other. Thank you, Father. They showed us such kindness. You know, the nurses were great. The doctors, but you know what? They have their protocol. They had a way that they thought things were supposed to go. But even so, I said, I thank you. And the Most High gave us my brother because my uncle, when we had his service, my uncle said, we thought we were going to lose him when he was small because he had serious surgeries when he was like 9 years old, something like that. And it was prayer then. And my mom was a prayer warrior. And he lived to be in his 60s. And I see all kinds of people who are departing so much earlier. And I'm thinking, wow.
He does.
I can say
you know
is,
what,
thank
sister,
Safiya,
he is in control and nobody
Absolutely.
Can call. He knows how long you're going to stay before you get here. So that, you know, we just can't, you know, it's his call. But he's sovereign enough to do what he wants to do.
That's right.
He really is.
Look, he stands outside of time. We're in one dimension. But this
yeah.
is just one dimension. He created, it's incomprehensible. If I can conceive of something, that means that whatever he has is so much more than that because I'm very finite. I feel the limitations of my humanity. Sometimes I'm thinking, boy, I wish I could think more. I think I could wish I could feel more. But he is so much more than I can ever comprehend. So if I can comprehend other worlds, if I can comprehend other dimensions, that's nothing. That's because in my finite being, I can comprehend it. He's incomprehensible. I know that he could. When the Messiah said, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, he was not exaggerating. I believe him.
Nor has it entered into the hearts of man what Yah has in store for his people. That's the rest of it.
That's right.
You have no idea when he say you're going to leave here with substance. No, let me say this. When he tell you you will leave here with great substance, that's what he means. And the lady said, it's got to be something about us here in America. When he tells you you're going to leave here with great substance, that's what he means. That means status. That means royalty. That means wealth. That means health. That means all of it. Y'all don't have to do anything. So when he tells you something, you got to be able to take it to the bank and believe what he said and do and wait on him because that's all you can do. There's not a government. There's not a president. There's not a military force. There's not anything that will stand, whether it is human or heavenly, that will stand in between of what he said because he stands on his word. He said, and my word will not come back to me. Boy, he already spoke it. It's already out there. It's got to return. It's got to return accomplished. So the 400-year word, he said they got to do 400 years, and it went out into the atmosphere. 400 years, 400 years. We wasn't even born yet. And guess what? When they made that law, August the 19th of 2029, that 400-year word came back to y'all and said it's been accomplished. Mm-hmm. He said it won't return unto me, boy. That 400-year word that he spoke went right full circle and came back to y'all and said it's been accomplished. They completed 400 years. This thing is getting ready to happen, y'all. This is getting ready to happen. Woo! Can you imagine that word came back? It came back to y'all and said, Master, it has been accomplished. They have fulfilled the 400 years. He just put that on off to the side because it can't. He said it won't return unto me void.
Because it has life. It has life.
Got life. Yes, it's got life.
The word. It's life-giving, life-affirming, life-creating.
Yes, it's life. Hallelujah, light. So you know, guess what? And if we finish that part of the prophecy, then he said, and they shall come out with great substance. We got to finish this part of the prophecy. And that's out there. It's making, it's working. It's talking. The government is talking. The shipper, the ship liners is talking. The military is talking. How are we going to move these people? When are we going to move these people? How many ships are we going to need? His word is already out there forming it and putting it together. And then when
right.
it comes time for us to know, he's going to reveal it to us, and we're going to get on that ship, and it's going to turn around and return back to Yah and say, it's done.
That's right.
Nothing he has ever spoken is going to come back to him void. Can't come back unfinished. It cannot come back unfinished. And this word was spoken over 5,000 years ago. Woo!
He says, I'm from everlasting to everlasting. This is
nothing.
He said, time. He's not bound by time. If he, look, he had the sun go back in the sky. He can do anything, anything. And he gives us examples. When he said Moses was born to do what he did, which
yes,
means before he was even conceived, the plan was in motion. The person was in place. He took him through what he needed to take him through so that he could do what he needed to do. And even though he didn't get to cross over, he still was with the Father. So it's not a
yes,
loss. It's still win. You win regardless.
You win. Yes, ma'am.
If we're there, we win. We know who he is. And the thing I said, I love you. I really want you to like me. And the truth is, I do believe he does. That's the thing
right.
that I learned.
Ain't no problem. Ain't no
that
wrong with that. Go on and have your own party. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Go on and have it all. Go on and have your own private party. Ain't nothing wrong with it. That's your Elohim. You can love on him and smooch on him as much as you want to because he belongs to you. He do.
Right,
he's yours.
I have to remember, wait a minute now.
Yes.
What did you do for me?
Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
He has talked to me in an audible voice. That still small voice. He has come to me in whatever way I need. He has kept me from an accident that I saw the car. It looked like it went through my car. But guess what? I had just come out of that crazy I am my own God stuff because I used to teach. I stood in front of like 100, maybe 100 students and declared that with all of my little heart. But I had to make a choice. Choose to stay whom you're going to serve. And he has worked through my son almost always. And I was thinking, I am leading this kid down. I'm really leading him in the wrong way. I want him to have salvation. I want him to not just live his life just we're just having a good time. We're doing it. We're doing what we want to do. And I had to make a choice. And I said, I am willing to set all this stuff aside and do what I need to do to raise
Absolutely.
My son right so he knows who he is. And so I was racing down this little back road to go and pick him up because I had dropped him off at a friend's house out in the country. Blew through a stop sign, went across a freeway, saw this car. I should have been dead. But guess what? I was having myself a hallelujah time, kind of like I am right now. It was unbelievable. I looked at them. They looked at me, and I was on the other side. I'm telling you, I just say, thank you, Father. I bless him.
Hallelujah.
Some things I see, some things I don't see. He says he keeps us from danger, seen and unseen. He keeps us through everything. And I say, why am I here? Why am I here? When I was able to stay with my brother, when I'm able to talk to my family, when I'm able to have them talk to me, I say, I know why I'm here. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Otherwise,
what
it's pointless to be here.
Man.
It seems very small. But then when I get the return, the people respond, and I've actually been a benefit. I mean, my family was so happy that I was able to stay there. My bags were packed. Literally, they just took my bags from by the door in the house and took them to the hospital. I had all of my luggage and everything right there. And then they were so kind, they just facilitated my every need. Do you need something? I would say it. They'd go and get it.
All right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But you know what? He makes a way.
He
makes a way. And we're running up on the end of our show. We are. So I just want to say that I am happy that you had a chance to spend time with your brother, and the Most High
yep.
is going to continue to lead and guide you into all truth. And we are waiting on his return. We're waiting on them ships to come. We're waiting on the Exodus that was spoken of in Genesis 15, 13, and 14. And we know that that was not Egypt, and we can prove it to anybody who's still out there that don't believe that. And we're just giving Yah the glory. It's just giving him the glory. All praises to his high and holy name. Now, let me say this. Don't forget that we're rolling up on our Passover, which is March the 15th, at even. And anyone that's out there that wants to do the Passover with us to get prepared, you do it from your home along with your families, please email us at the Yehuda Project at gmail.com, the Yehuda, Y is in yellow, E is in Edward, H is in Harry, U is in umbrella, D is in David, A is in apple, H is in Harry, and then project, project at gmail.com. Send us an email. We'll send you the registration form and everything. We'll walk you through what it is that you're supposed to do, and we would love to have you in the Passover. And for those people who are waiting on the second Exodus, don't let anybody talk you into selling your houses, your cars, quitting your job. You don't have to do none of that. When the time comes, the one thing we can tell you about Yah is he does things decent and in order. It's never a fear tactic. He never talks you into running somewhere and getting rid of everything and skipping out. No. Just wait on him. Continue to live. Continue to go to work. Continue to be law-abiding citizens. Continue to be the best you can be. And we are just waiting on our Elohim to come and get us. And that's all we can do. So don't be fooled, because deception is out there. People see opportunities and they take them. They'd be happy to take your money from you. They will. They'll set you up. They'll be happy to take all your money from you and lead you on a wild goose chase. But one thing we know about our Elohim is he does things decent and in order. And on that note, if there is nothing else, who are we going to get to lead us in prayer this time? Who's leading us out? Somebody. Brother Uriah, you going to lead us in prayer today? Brother Uriah, can you lead us in prayer today? Are you there? I don't think he's still here with us. I don't know. Let me see. Let me get somebody else. Who going to lead us in prayer? Let me see. Sister Yusakia, why don't you lead us in prayer?
I will. I don't usually pray out loud, but I will.
All right. Let's do it. I'm with you. Everybody get ready to turn to the east.
My Father, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love and your kindness. I thank you that you are who you say you are, and your word cannot come back void. I thank you for every single thing that you've done for us. I thank you for life, dear Father. I thank you for health. I thank you for promises. I thank you for wealth. I thank you for that which is to come. My Father, I ask, in the name of your Son, that you be with each and every one of us. I thank you for the word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for everything that you've done for us. I pray blessing on us. I pray protection on us, our Father. I thank you. I thank you and I praise you. I ask that you help us to know you in spirit and in truth. I ask that you help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I ask that you help us to be at peace, your Father, to just take our time and try to be still so that we can hear from you. Help me to love you, dear Father. I want to truly love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let it not just be words, but, dear Father, help us to love you with a sincere love. Help us to have a clean heart, dear Father, so that we're acceptable in your sight. And we give you honor. We give you praise, and we give you thanks. We bless you for your mercy. We bless you for your kindness. We bless you that we are your people. We thank you. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. So all praises to the Most High Yah, dear Father. Every person who hears this program, those who don't, we thank you. I pray for the innocent. I pray for the people, dear Father, who are losing their lives and going into eternity. You know, dear Father, every day people depart, people come. You know the beginning. You know the end. There's so much that I don't understand, that we don't understand, but we know that you know all. We thank you, we thank you, and we thank you that you are our Elohim. I thank you that you're the one that I trust. So, my Father, I just ask that you be with us and guide us, protect us, keep us,
And we thank you. We look with great expectation to what it is that you have promised, and we ask that you just be with us throughout this day and keep us, lead us, and guide us. And we thank you, thank you, thank you, my Father. You say, and everything gives thanks when we do. We thank you. We thank you when we are going through things that are really pleasant, things that make us cry, things that make us think. We just thank you that we woke up this morning, dear Father. We thank you that we're doing as well as we are. And we give you honor. We give you praise. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, dear Father. We ask these things in the name of your Son. We thank you, thank you, and we thank you, dear Father, for everything that you've done. We ask that you just bless Israel, deliver us, dear Father. We look with great expectation to what it is that you are going to do for us. And I just thank you and say hallelujah, hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beautiful, beautiful. All right, you guys, guess what? Enjoy the rest of your evening. We'll see you next week at our regularly scheduled time. We'll see everyone then. You guys have a wonderful rest of your evening, and shalom, shalom, everybody. Bye-bye.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Hey. Shalom.
Hasta la vista, babies.